Jones and Mego. Civil discourse only.
That's the reason I'm you're stupid. Shut up.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI.
When I push back on the they should glide through the East.
Yes.
Should.
Yes.
But I still have questions.
Yes.
Like you do too.
I, without question, I was asked earlier, who do I see beating them? And it's like, or who's the biggest threat? Like anybody. Look at Miami did it last year. You could make the argument that the Boston Celtics have had the most talented team for the last 3 years running. And there is no question that that's the case this year.
Yeah, this year's no question.
No question. And yet, do we believe in them in the postseason? And why, for the last 2 years, haven't they been able to get it done? And have, most important, have they solved the issue that kept them from winning it the previous 2 years? Does Drew Holiday solve that issue? I don't think he does. Does Kristaps Porzingis solve that issue? I don't think he does, because it's still going to be with a game on the line, and more often than not in the playoffs, it comes down to this one possession at the end of the game. Who's going to win it for me?
Rick Bucher on with Colin Cowherd yesterday. He'd go on to say that he trusts guys like Jalen Brunson more with the game on the line than Jason Tatum. Mego has some numbers on that. That'll back it up. But again, to reiterate, the last team to have the best record in the NBA and go on to win the title, the Golden State Warriors, in 2017. Since then, six teams have tried and failed, including the 65-win Rockets, the 64-win Suns. There was a Milwaukee team that won 60-plus games in there. Celtics are trying to break that streak. Will they be the team to do it? You can jump in here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. We also passed along the news, not like we broke it or anything, but the news came out earlier this hour. Jack Edwards will be doing his final games with the Boston Bruins. Regular season game tonight against Ottawa, and then Nesson has the first round matchup. And then it'll be Jack Edwards' final call on Nesson for the Bruins. And so that's on the heels of Mike Gorman, who will be also calling the first round action on NBC Boston. But he had Mike Gorman Day over the weekend. And throw in Sterling, Vern Lundquist on top of it. That's a lot of change. And something that viewers are going to get used to, which I would imagine there's going to be a lot of uniformity in the replacements. And we've already started to see some of that, I think, in replacing Mike Gorman. So you can jump in on all of it. We have Megsplaining coming up about 5 minutes from now at 5:30. Mego, what do you have for crunch time numbers on Jason Tatum that back up some of what Bucher's talking about?
So these are clutch stats, and the simplest way to explain them is that these are situations in which there are 2 minutes or less left in an NBA game, and the score is two scores or closer in NBA games. And so in these stats, Jason Tatum comes up with his effective field goal percentage at 24%.
Can I ask a question? Why do we do effective field goal and not just field goal percentage? Just out of
curiosity. Because it's like the ability to get to the line, you know, because some people will go, oh, well, Tatum's just trying to pick up fouls. So it's the ability to get to the line, shoot free throws, the ability to score in the two-point range and from behind the arc. So it just is collectively all of that. It's just kind of like the easiest way to demonstrate how effective you are in the final minutes.
Because I'll be honest, I missed the first go-round. I missed that. I was reacting like it was actual field goal percentage, and somebody sent me a note on that. I didn't realize this was effective field goal, but keep going.
Yeah, so EFG percentage. So Tatum's is 24%. Including 19 opportunities where it's 2 minutes or less in the game and it's two scores or closer. So 19 opportunities, 24%. When you compare him to his peers around the league, one of the names that just came up in that clip is Jalen Brunson. He's 48% across 20 opportunities. So he actually had more opportunities, and his clutch percentage, his EFG is twice as much as Tatum's.
Yeah, more opportunities and more efficient.
You keep going down, Jamal Murray, he's got only 8 opportunities, but 69%. Nice. SGA has 15 opportunities, and this is all just this season, 57%. So really, really good.
SGAs are all layups, though, I'd imagine. They're all from like a foot
Either way, he's making it happen. Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, 15 opportunities as well, 50%. All of these guys are at least twice as clutch in this area of the game, in these closing minutes of close games, compared to Tatum. And I think that that's something that you can't ignore about this year. It's very real. The numbers bear it out. These aren't cherry picking stats. These are the real stats from these opportunities.
Yeah. And again, I'll say this for like the 10th time today. You know it if you're watching. If you're watching, those numbers match what it looks like with Tatum in crunch time, which to me, those are the best kind of numbers. They're not the numbers where you go, wait a minute, I felt a certain way watching it, but these numbers don't exactly align, because you can play around with numbers, you can play around with metrics, or sometimes your mind will play tricks on you when you're watching stuff. But you're watching Tatum and you're like, he's not good in these spots, and those numbers underscore it. Should we trust guys like Jalen Brunson and other players around the NBA or the Eastern Conference playoffs more than Tatum?
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a guy who year after year after year makes all these big shots and is always someone that, you know, demands the ball and he's had good games, obviously. And against Philly, he had that great fourth quarter. But we're talking about these situations, Mago, that you're specifying here. That's not something that I look at Jason Tatum and feel good about. And I don't think the team does either, quite frankly. I think that, you know, what happened last year was Tatum was making these reads, and that's usually what happens. It's not like Mazzulla draws up a bunch of plays. He gives them the ball. He doesn't want the other team to reset their defense, so they just sort of play. And Tatum now, without Marcus Smart to kick it to, which is sort of ridiculous because I think that was always a mistake to kick it out to Marcus Smart. You have actual good guys to kick it out to now, and he's taking all the shots and bricking them. So, I mean, it's not a good situation. I would have liked to have seen, like, in that Sacramento game, for example, when they sat all the starters in the fourth quarter and that came down to the wire. I would have liked to see Tatum out there just because you have it all cinched up right now. It'd probably be really good for him to see one of those shots go through the basket at this point, and he still doesn't have one, really, to hang his hat on, other than that Detroit one you keep mentioning, Jones, where the ball didn't even go through the basket. Nope. It was a goaltend. So it's like, you know, like, there's really nothing for him to feel good about. There's no going into the playoffs. He's got to have a very low sort of momentum state right now. There's just no way to feel good about it.
Yeah, and by the way, this reminds me, talking about Brunson, we got a tweet earlier in the show at Jones WEEI. This is from Lance. Jones, we'll see how a smaller guard like Brunson does in the postseason. Those guys usually struggle in the playoffs. We've seen Brunson in the playoffs. He was awesome last year against Miami. They lost, but he had 41 in an elimination game. I think he averaged 28 in the postseason last year over two series for the New York Knicks. That's as the lead guy. The year before in the postseason, he had some good games for Dallas. I mean, they went on a run to the Western Conference Final. He had a 40-point game, 41 in the first round against Utah. He averaged 19 in the second round when they upset Phoenix. And then he wasn't as good against Golden State, did score 31 in one of those games. He's been a good postseason player. So we've seen Brunson in the postseason, and last year we saw him as the lead guy. I do trust him. And here's the problem. This is the real issue, because I think people talk about the Celtics in crunch time backwards. They're like, well, Mazzulla should tell Tatum to do this, or Jalen Brown should want the ball, or Kristaps Porzingis needs to demand the ball. That's not how it works. If Tatum wants the ball, Tatum's going to get the ball. That tends to be, whether you like it or not, how it is at the end of these games. Who's his idol again, Mego?
Kobe.
What did Kobe do at the end of the game? Did he pass or did he take the shot?
Take the shot.
On balance, he took the shot. I'm sure there are examples you can throw in my face. But Kobe had the ball. Kobe was taking the shot. If Tatum wants that shot, I think the organization will let him take it. And that means Stevens. That means Mazzulla. That means his teammates. Tatum has to be on board with other people taking the final shot. And I don't think he is. Because every time they have a chance at the end of games, he's the one with the ball in his hands taking the shot.
But, and John Tomasi wrote about this, like, maybe a month and a half ago, so I want to credit him. I also think some of it is the shot selection. Like, yeah, there's very easy cases. Atlanta is the one just on March 28th where you could point to, and that was a wide-open three-point shot that he could have won instead of sending it into overtime where they ultimately lost that buzzer beater. Like, that was a good shot, but a lot of his shots are these fadeaway, yep, jumpers, these turnaround fadeaway three-point attempts. And it's just like, what is this?
No.
You know, you have to know that the shot selection can be better than this. It's not even about deferring, but about using, I don't know, your basketball IQ to be able to select and put yourself in the best matchups.
Yeah, don't take 15 dribbles and settle for a fallaway. And I just mocked SGA for all of his end-of-game shots being at the rim, but at least he's putting the ball on the floor, putting his head down, and going to the rim. You can draw contact. It's an easier shot. And so, you know, I don't mean to completely take down what Gildas Alexander is doing there. But, yeah, I think Tatum has poor shot selection there as well. The whole building knows what he's going to do. He's going to dribble, 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 and then fade away. And it's part of why he's so poor at it. So you can jump in on all this. Rich Keefe standing by at the top of the hour for a brief sprint up to the Red Sox and the Guardians tonight here on WEE.